Jewish Education and Media is pleased to present L'Chaim, a program that highlights the people, issues, and events of importance to the Jewish community. Now here is your host, Rabbi Mark Golub.
I'm Mark Golub, and think for a moment. Which symbols or images say Israel? What do you think the iconic visuals are which immediately identify the Jewish state? Well, of course, there's the Israeli flag, the blue Magen David, the Star of David, centered between two blue stripes, meant to evoke the talis, or talit, the Jewish prayer shawl. But what else? I think most of us would answer the Western Wall. Talk about iconic pictures. The Western Wall with the golden dome of the rock sitting atop the most sacred spot in the Jewish world. It surely says Israel. So that's two. The Israeli flag and the Western Wall. Is there a third? Yes, there is. There's a third. It's the two words, El Al. Anyone who sees the El Al logo immediately thinks of Israel. El Al Airlines has become an integral part of Jewish life and of connection to the state of Israel, literally a connection for Jews throughout the world, including here in the United States. The reality is there are people who fly to Israel and they never think of using another airline. In the 1970s, El Al instituted anti-terrorist safety measures that became the airline model for all other airlines. One always feels safe on El Al. And whenever one steps onto an El Al plane, one immediately feels one is already in Israel. And I'm sure many of you have memories of the first time you flew to Israel. And how, as that El Al plane crossed the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, and you begin to see this green, gorgeous, modern landscape of the state of Israel, and Israeli music begins to play, and there are chills, and an understanding in some profound way, wherever else you may live, you are coming home. Ben-Gurion Airport is a sleek, modern airport, and rarely do you depart the plane down a stairway as one did in the old days and then step for the first time on Israeli soil. But there is still drama and excitement when one realizes one has arrived in the state of Israel. And more often than not, the airline that's brought you home is El Al. By the way, you may not know that El Al holds the world record for carrying the most passengers on a single commercial aircraft. When El Al was part of the heroic rescue of more than 14,000 Ethiopian Jews in Operation Solomon in 1991. On one plane, El Al flew 1,088 passengers from Ethiopia to Israel, a world record. Well, El Al is not only the name on the side of an airplane. It's people. It's more than 6,000 men and women, pilots and stewards and technicians and airport personnel, and those involved in developing El Al's more than $2 billion business, flying more than 3.5 million passengers every year to and from Israel. And on this edition of L'Chaim, it's an enormous pleasure for me to be sitting with one of the very special Israelis, talents, who's at the heart of El Al operations, Yoram El-Grabli, managing director for all of El Al Airlines in North America. Let me tell you just a little bit about Yoram. Yoram is a Sabra, a native-born Israeli. He has an impressive background in finance, sales, and operations, as well as global expertise in the aviation industry. Before becoming the head of El Al North America, Yoram served as El Al's managing director in Western Europe, overseeing the airline's operations in France, Germany, Switzerland, Spain, Austria, Hungary, and Czechoslovakia. And then full journalistic disclosure, I've had the wonderful opportunity to spend time with Yoram and his lovely wife, Ilana, on Shabbat. And I can tell you, he is one of the loveliest people you could ever meet. And I am thrilled to be able to introduce him to you on L'Chaim. Thank you so much, Yoram, for spending time here and getting over here and sitting at this table. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for inviting me. It's really... Thank you for the kind and warm words.
You are most welcome. You're most welcome. And they are all well deserved and then some. Okay, before we talk about you and El Al, I want to talk about you and your Jewish background and who the heck you are and how you become the Yoram that you are. So you're in Sabra, but where are you born and into what kind of Jewish family?
So I born in Israel.
Where?
City Ramle.
Ramle?
One brother and four sisters. We are six. And
where are you in the six, Yoram?
I'm in the middle. I'm the third one, the sandwich one. And our house was all the time Masorati, Jewish family.
Jewish tradition.
Tradition, Masorati, we call it in Israel.
Where were your parents from?
Morocco, both of them.
They're Sephardi.
Yes, they are Sephardi.
They come from Morocco. Do you know when they come?
Yes.
When?
In 1958.
Do they come together already married or do they meet
come
here?
Come together married.
So they meet in Morocco?
Yes, they meet and married in Morocco.
Do they have any children when they arrive in Israel?
Yes, my sister, my biggest sister.
Okay, so they had one child. Yeah. Then they have five more?
Yes, in Israel.
And you're number three. Yes. What are your parents' names?
Avram and Rosette.
Avram and Rosette. What you said, Masorti, the audience has a sense of what that means. But describe for me the Jewish life you grew up. You're a child growing up, one of six. So, what's the Jewish flavor of your home?
So, of course, every Friday and Saturday, when I was a little child, I think 3 or 4 years old, I went with my father to the synagogue. And I think till the age of 18, I just follow up my father. And every Friday and Saturday, we went to the synagogue. And then after the synagogue, of course, it's a Shabbat Kiddush.
Yes.
And Saturday, the same.
Yes.
And all the time, my father's dream is to come. He was a big Zionist.
He was?
Yes. He was a big Zionist. He passed away in 2002, unfortunately.
I'm sorry.
He was a big Zionist, and he gave us the love of Israel through the Yadu, through the Judaism, by the way. And it was a very warm house. We are all together, all the six brothers and sisters are very close one to each other.
Even though
that I'm here in North America, but my children, I have three children, by the way.
Mazal tov.
My son, the little one, is with us. He's 14 years old.
Just became bar mitzvah.
Last December we celebrate his bar mitzvah, and we have Mai, our older daughter. She studied in Jerusalem University.
Lovely.
And my son, who is an officer in the army.
Really.
At the Air Force. And by the way, both of them served like a lone soldier in Israel, and they live in my sister's house, so she helped me.
This is marvelous.
Yeah.
And our audience should understand, a lone soldier is somebody who comes from America and the parents of the nuclear family is in another country, in this instance, in America. But fortunately for you, when your children went to serve in the IDF as lone soldiers, they had family. It wasn't their Abba and their mother,
Big advantage.
Big advantage.
Yes. Okay. They have their grandmothers, they have
there was family.
Uncles.
And I'm sure you kept going. They've been in Israel often, yes?
My children,
yeah.
Of course, yes. Every holiday and every summer and all the Chagim.
Okay. Yoram, there are many Israelis who do not have the experience you had. Even, especially in the Ashkenazi world, it's ironic that many Israelis now grow up knowing they're Israeli, but they would never say what you did, which was your Zionism, taught to you by your father, came through Judaism. And you know, there are many Israelis who, even if they feel Israeli, they don't feel Jewish. And I'm wondering, first of all, what your experience is in the greater Sephardi world. And when you look at Israel and that problem, the lack of Yehudit, Judaism, among the Israeli youth, what's your feeling? What are your thoughts?
It's a good question, by the way, and I'm happy that you asked it. I will answer from a personal view.
Please.
As I told you, I have two children. And we were living in Paris, very nice neighborhood, and they were studying in American school. They have a good life, nice environment. But at the moment that they became age of 18, they said, "Father, we are going to the army. No question. We are not going to postpone it. We are going to the army." Both of them, by the way.
This was their choice?
Their choice, and both of them. And not only that, after they finished the army, I asked them, "Come back, come to New York, come to Paris. You have a great university here in New York. Come study here." "No way. I'm going to study in Jerusalem University." "Why? Why Jerusalem University? You have and it's by nature, all the skills to study in every university." My daughter was the outstanding student of the American school in Paris. She was number one in the school. And still, "No, Father, thank you, but no thank you. I'm going to study in Jerusalem. I'm going to the army. After the army, I'm going to Jerusalem University." Same as my son. He's going to finish the army in 10 days now, after serving 4.5 years. "I'm not coming to New York. I'm going to study in Israel. I want to stay in Israel. I want to study in Israel." So this is their choice. And I think that this show, what they are getting from home, what I got from my parents, I think they got from us.
Are you proud of them for doing this?
I'm very proud of them for doing that. But I wanted them to be nearby me.
Yes, you're an Abba.
But I'm very proud of their decision and the way that they choose to go.
I'm very happy for you, and I know as a father what it means. I don't want my children far from me. At the same time,
they ask me to come back. They ask, "You have to come back. We are not coming to you. You will come back to us."
And how does Ilana feel? How does your wife feel?
So it's very hard. You know, the two children are abroad. Very difficult, but this is a challenge that we are facing all the time, and the debate. But I think at the end of the day, it's good for the children and good for the family as well. You know, they got skills that no one can get. They are multilingual. They speak at least 3 languages fluently: English, French, Hebrew. It's a big advantage. They got a good education. Mm-hmm. They manage to, you know, when they are moving from state to state, so they develop skills how to survive in a new environment, how to survive alone, how to create new friends. So at the end of the day, it's very hard for us, but I think it's give to their personality a lot of advantages.
Do you ever think about going back to Israel?
Of course. It's my home there.
Do you think one day you will?
Of course.
Of course.
I hope very soon.
Okay. And then you'll be with yourself.
By the way, when the company needs you, they said, "Yoram, we need you to go to France, so you have to do what you have to do."
You know, Israeli diplomats who come to New York and they spend, let's say, 4 years here, and they become very, very important to American Jews in whatever area they're in. But after 4 years, they often very much want to go back. And I had said to myself, I wonder if Yoram is in the same position. You have a very important job right now with El Al, a huge responsibility of running the North American Airlines operations. But is this something similar to what a diplomat experiences? Namely, El Al says to you, "Go there, but when you come here, you already know it's for a limited amount of time, or when you come here, you don't know what the future is going to hold.
We don't know what the future is going to hold.
Okay.
I hope that soon I will be back to Israel.
Okay. I want to push you just a little more, and maybe there is no answer, because the answer you gave me was about your children. And I was asking you whether, as an Israeli who grew up in a Masorti, meaning a traditional Sephardi home, with parents who loved Judaism, but incidentally, when you describe all the things you did, you went with your father to the synagogue, then you come home, you have Kiddush, you're spending it. Did you love it?
When I was a child?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, you understand some kids resent it. You did not resent it.
No.
You loved it.
Yes.
And it shaped your soul.
I think.
Okay.
And you know, now when I was in the synagogue, when we met in the Hamptons, I forgot my eyeglasses. It's my reading glasses. But all the tefillah, all the pray, you know, I almost everything I know by...
This is in you. This is in you. It goes in your blood.
So
it's in your soul. Okay. So I'm asking you from that perspective. What I said to you was, there are many Israelis who... I will tell you a story. We interviewed cast members of Shtisel, which is a big Israeli hit series in Israel. It's now on Netflix. It's marvelous. The actors are superb. And I have the opportunity to meet in for a special program of L'Chaim with three of the actors. Two of them are young. And I say to the two young Israelis, tell me about your own Israeli self-identity. How do you view yourself? Do you view yourself primarily as a Jew, or do you primarily view yourself as
an Israeli,
a Hebrew-speaking Israel, a general? And their answer was, we don't feel Jewish. We feel we are Hebrew-speaking people from the Middle East who happen to live in Israel. They are not unique. And American Jews should understand it's a different experience living in Israel. But what I'm asking you, Yoram, as somebody who grew up in a very strong Jewish home with a Zionist/Jewish identity, parents who cared and they helped shape who you are, and now your children, I am sure in some way your parents have influenced the decisions you just described your children making to say to you, Abba, we're very happy for you. You stay in America. We're going to school now after the IDF service, after service in Israel. I'm asking you, how do you, as a thinking Israeli, view the phenomenon expressed by these cast members of Shtisel, where Judaism isn't that important, Zionism isn't that important?
I'm not sure about Zionism. About Judaism, there is a big debate in Israel. The young generation, you know, he lives in his own country. What our parents dream about? They dream about coming to Israel. They came to Israel, they kissed the land when they landed here. But they grow up to another environment, which we have our own country, strong army, strong economy. And in the diaspora, in the Galut, mm-hmm. when you thought about Israel, it was, you know, Israel, Jerusalem, and everything. But for them, it's for granted. That's how I see the thing. Mm-hmm. And my children, you know, my son is not going to the synagogue, neither my daughter. They are Israeli, and they're proud to be Israeli. They love to be Israeli. They love to serve their country. It was out of question not to do so. But the religious issue, it's a totally different story.
Interesting, very interesting. They're not observant themselves as you were as a child.
No.
And does Ilan...
I observe because of my father.
Yes, but did you observe as a parent? Did you and Ilana create...
Not enough.
Isn't that interesting?
Not enough.
Not enough.
And by the way, Ilana grew in the same environment of...
That you did?
Yeah, another... family, but also her father was Shabbat and Kiddush and everything, but the same.
But you didn't need it as a grown-up. When you created your own family, you didn't need it.
If I didn't what?
You didn't need it.
Of Of course we needed it. We did our kiddush, and every Shabbat it was a kiddush and everything. But I didn't go into the synagogue. Now, they don't go, no, there's a synagogue, and the kiddush is not so important. But unfortunately, for me, all the time, I'm here in New York, we are making kiddush every Friday. And we are,
because you're in Galut.
I think so.
Yes. It's very, it's very
but
honest.
Also when we were in Israel, the break that I was, we kept doing our...
In some way, it's because you've been living in America, in New York, that certain patterns have now become important to you that may not have been important if you never came to America.
That's right.
Yes, okay.
I must agree with that.
Okay.
And the same is the same situation like in Paris, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you if you are comfortable talking about your time in the IDF, because you were a commander, correct? In which
tank
unit?
Commander. Tank commander.
You were a tank commander.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 18 years old, like everyone in Israel.
Okay. But did you become a commander immediately?
No. We are making I did some courses that
yes.
And training that makes you a commander.
And did you see action?
I saw some action as well.
You know, to American Jews, it's, I'm sad to say, it's romantic. When I talked to Israelis, it wasn't romantic. It was something you did, and you understood you had to do it. And war is hell, and fighting is hell, and being shot at is terrifying, and shooting at someone is terrifying. Nachon, is that fair to say?
It's very fair to say. This is the right thing to say.
At the same time, did you do it as an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old? Did you do it because you had no choice, or was there any sense in you that it's something you wanted to do?
You know, it's for Israeli, it's... Most, I don't want to say everyone, but 95% from the Israeli know that they have to oblige. They are obliged to do so. And we must do it. We have to do the work. No one will do the work for us. And I think that that's how I felt. And this is how my children are feeling. And my son volunteered to a special unit. And me too, it was just... goes without saying. We are going to the army to serve our country, and that's all.
Kol hakavod. Do you worry for your children?
When they were in the army? Of course. Everyone worried for their children.
It would be wonderful, would it not, if there was a way to find peace and no father and no mother would have to have their child serving in the IDF in battle. It's one thing to serve. But if you have to be in action, it's terrible. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were able to get to the point where your grandchildren did not have to serve in the same way that you and your children did?
From your mouth to the ear of God. Okay.
So Yoram, you were a tank commander. How do you end up with El Al?
So we went to study in the university, and then I came for... I was in a stage in a CPA office, and I saw in the newspaper announcement that in El Al they looks for finance people. I went. They told me, "You can. We will recruit you, but only for 3 months." And now I think 91, so 28 years.
3 months turned into 28 years.
Yes.
Mazal tov. And incidentally, it's silly for somebody to say, well, do you enjoy your work? But the better question is, does the work you've done with El Al, do you find fulfillment in it? And that you, to some extent, you feel you're making a contribution, both not only for your family, but for the state of Israel.
Yeah, I like what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing.
That's wonderful.
And you know, it's we say in El Al that it's like a virus. You know, it just hit you and that's it. You cannot live anymore.
Interesting.
And that's what's happened to me. And I'm very lucky that I had the right and the honor to serve El Al in so many countries and come to New York to be the head of El Al in North America and to develop new markets here in North America. You know that we open a new destination, Miami, about one and a half years ago. Then we open...
Meaning direct flights.
Non-stop flight, yes. So in San Francisco and Orlando. And we are going to inaugurate in March 20, Chicago non-stop flight.
Oh, mazel tov.
We are expanding our activity in North America. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to be attentive to the needs of the market, to the needs of our clients, and to give the right answer in the right place.
What are the needs of your market? What do your passengers want?
So... our passenger, like every passenger, by the way, they look for comfort when they are flying.
Absolutely.
From
that many hours?
So it depends, you West Coast or East Coast, but it's from 10 to 15 hours non-stop flight. So first of all, they are looking for safety, security, comfort, service. And I think that now we are in an era that... we just bought 16 Dreamliners.
Dreamliners.
Which is 787. Top of the line of aircraft. 11 of them are already in service.
Wow.
And very soon, by the way, by the end of coming...
Calendar year?
September, no.
Okay. Oh, by high holidays.
Yeah. We will... All our...
flights from America?
All our North America operation will be covered by those new brand new Dreamliners.
How many do they carry?
282 seats.
Lovely.
Yes. And I can tell you that we have a very good feedback. We have a state-of-the-art business class. We have a premium new class that we launched with the Dreamliner. Big success. A very good feedback from the clients. We have the state-of-the-art entertainment on board, Wi-Fi on board. Really, I think that when we will finish the recruitment of the 16 Dreamliners, I think that El Al Israel Airlines will be not only the wings of the Jewish people, also it will be the most youngest airline worldwide, I think, in terms of age of the fleet.
Mazal tov, that'd be wonderful.
Thank you.
Yoram, explain to us, what's the relationship between El Al as an airline company and the state of Israel and the government of Israel?
El Al is a private company. El Al is a private company, and we are acting like a private company. And
So people should understand, El Al is not the airline of the Israeli government as such.
It's not an Israeli government, but it's the national carrier of Israel.
Mm-hmm. One of the significant reputations El Al has is that it is a safe airline, and that people can get on the airline and feel they're flying from here to there in safety, and they don't have to worry about terrorists and blah, blah, blah. At the same time, El Al and the State of Israel has come under a certain degree of criticism for what's called profiling. That Israelis became, the Israeli people, I'm not saying El Al itself, but Israel became very good at profiling of people who were about to get on a plane. And then there were people who said, well, that isn't right. There shouldn't be profiling. In Israel, to what extent is profiling an issue that disturbs Israelis? And in general, what would you say to Americans who might say to you, is the profiling Israel does appropriate or inappropriate?
You said that there is a profiling. I'm saying that all the security measures that we are taking is for the sake of our passenger. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if he's Israeli, American, French, Germany. The measure, the security measure that we are taking, it's for the sake of our passenger. And the reputation speaks by itself. So I don't know about profiling or not profiling. As I said, security measures are for the sake of our passengers.
Okay. Another issue that has been raised, and Jews can always find issues, Yoram, is the issue of, for lack of a better way of saying it, religious observance on planes. And who do Orthodox Jews and ultra-Orthodox Jews sit next to, and what kosher and Shabbat and davening in the middle of a flight. I want you to talk about how El Al has dealt with these issues. First of all, just the question of when people say to you, well, there are Orthodox Jews who believe that El Al should not be flying on Shabbat and that it should only have kosher food. And El Al, and the government has basically entered into an agreement where that is basically true, correct? Clarify for the audience, what is the observance issues that El Al has been able to work out on flights to and from Israel?
So let's split the answer to two.
Okay.
The first part, it belongs to the first question when we discuss about the Judaism, Israeli Judaism, etc.
Yes.
Okay? So we are a Jewish company. We are proud to be Jewish company. We are proud to keep Shabbat as well. As for the issue how we are dealing with the cases of religious sitting by non-religious,
yeah.
I can tell you that if there is someone who know how to deal with something like that, it's us. We know the DNA of our passengers. We know how to deal with such kind of things. And I think that only from New York, we have in the summer 5 to 6 flights a day. And we are sending about 2,000 passengers a day to Israel. And the flights are good and the satisfaction from our clients are high. And here and there is someone who like to raise this issue. And you know, in Israel, unfortunately, it's a sexy thing to speak about the conflict between religious and not religious.
You said it religious. It's sexy, right.
And, you know, so things sometimes are going out of proportion, but the common practice that we love our customers, our customers enjoy from our product, and it doesn't matter if they are Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, whatever nation they are. So,
I love your answer. And it's my experience, by the way. My experience, and I've gone to Israel many times, El Al, these are non-issues. And if every now and then, you know, once in what, hundreds and hundreds of flights, somebody's upset with somebody, it becomes a cause célèbre, it becomes a big deal. It's all nonsense.
Social media.
I'm so glad you said it, and you said it perfectly. And again, it's been my total experience. I don't think any of these issues of Jewish observance on El Al is relevant at all, and I'm glad you said it that way. To what extent are you familiar with what I call the noble history of El Al? Because El Al, I mentioned that El Al once has the record of flying the most people on a given plane.
That's right.
When they were doing the Operation Solomon to save Ethiopian Jews. But Operation Solomon is not the only operation that El Al has been in, has taken part in, that has literally saved Jewish communities. And there was Magic Carpet. And Magic Carpet brought Jews from many of the Sephardic countries, India and Yemen. And there were other programs as well. And To me, that's the rich history of El Al. And I don't know if American Jews appreciate the fact that El Al has, at given points in time, been part of heroic rescue operations that elevate the stature of the Jewish people, as well as literally save lives of Jews. And here you are, you're a major figure in the El Al community. And I said to myself, I wonder whether that's something Yoram feels and carries around with him, or whether it's a legendary part of El Al, but is not impacting the employees and the managers and the directors of El Al, and the extent to which it is part of who we are as Jews. El Al is part of who we are as Jews, not simply because you carry passengers to and from Israel, but because you've literally been part of operations that have saved Jewish communities. Speak to me about that from your perspective.
All what you have mentioned, it's written on the history, and the history of El Al and the history of the Jewish nation is the same history and tied, together. If we won't talk about, you mentioned the Marvad HaKsamim, and you mentioned the immigration from Russia, and the what we did with the. I want to speak about, something that unique also only for El Al. And I'm talking about, you remember the volcanic ash, the volcanic crisis that all over Europe, that the civil aviation of all the European carriers decided to stop operation. And there were a lot of Israeli all over Europe that supposed to come back to Israel. And we made some special operation in order to identify where they are staying and divert them. Let's say, I remember that we couldn't took over from Paris, and there was like only a noise that we are going to be shut down because of the volcanic issue. And I remember that President Peres was in Paris, and our CEO just called him and said, Mr. Peres, Mr. President, we have to leave now Paris and go back to Israel. And we took him back to Israel before we have shut down. And after we shut down, we managed to divert passengers from Paris to Marseille, because we could flew from Marseille and from other destinations, from Madrid to Barcelona, and then we sent aircraft to rescue those people who was blocked in Barcelona. No other carrier will take care like we took care about our clients. I think that those actions are unique for El Al, and in crisis we are showing that there is only one carrier that took care about the aviation from Israel and abroad. And I'm proud to be part of the bridge, de facto, between Israel and the world. El Al is the bridge, the rear bridge, and the safest bridge, and the most secure bridge between Israel and North America. Because El Al is flying today. We have 49 flights a week from North America to Israel. Every flight, it's about 300 passengers in average. So 15,000 passengers per week between North America to Israel. So I'm proud to be part of it.
That is beautifully said. There's another operation. I don't know if you have any, how familiar you are with it. And we talked about sexy. This is a very sexy operation. It was the ability for El Al to bring Eichmann back from Argentina dressed as an Israel, as a El Al Pilate. Do you know that story?
Of course I know that story.
Just for, if there's anybody watching L'Chaim right now who forgets, tell this, give me your sense of that story. And you talked beautifully about how you feel about El Al stepping in to really make sure Israeli passengers and El Al passengers are taken care of. What's your sense of El Al's role in that historic event?
Like many other events, by the way. And again, it's not just, El Al is not just an airline. El Al is the carrier of the Jewish people.
Yes.
And we participate and in a many other operation. One of them was the Eichmann operation. El Al was a part of it. And the all is written all over, and you can Google it, and you will find all the bits and bytes, what's happened there. But El Al play an important role also in this event, and as for many other events.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the fact that Eichmann was spirited out of Argentina wearing an El Al pilot's uniform, which he at ultimately was very compliant and happy to put on. And at one point he said, "You forgot my hat." It's an amazing part of Israeli history, and in some way it's part of El Al history. Okay, so you've been in America now how many years?
For three years.
Did anything about American Jewry surprise you?
The only thing that surprised me is that not enough American Jew flying to Israel.
It is shocking, isn't it?
Amazing. I was amazed.
And what few percentage of American Jews ever visit Israel?
Yes, they are talking, the number that they are talking, the survey that they are doing, it's about between 60 to 70% from the American Jews never visit Israel.
That's correct. Somewhere around 30% of American Jews have visited Israel, and the rest have not. It is one of the pities of American Jewish life.
I can't understand it. Such a lovely country, Israel. You know, you will not find elsewhere a place like Israel.
And when I say...
Especially for Jewish people.
Of course. And by the way, many non-Jews, more non-Jews now, go to Israel than Jews do. It is amazing how much non-Jews just love the state of Israel.
And the feedback that we got when they are coming back from their journey from Israel, life-changing experience.
Life-changing experience. But it's true for Jews too.
Of course.
American Jews who go to Israel, they come back different in a much better way. It's not different bad, it's different wonderful.
And I'm telling you, most of our clients that visited Israel for the first time are going back to Israel.
Yes.
90% of them, 95% of them.
When I said, by the way, you get off the plane and wherever you live, you feel you've also come home. You understand that. And you understand that many, many, you'll hear this from Jews all over the world, when they come back from Israel, you know, America is my home, but I was at home in Israel also. Isn't that special?
It's special, but for us, it's the nature. We it's us, it's Israeli, you know, with all the good and bad and the chutzpah and everything, but at the end of the day, it's our place. It's a great country, great economy, great culture. So, you know, we are talking about America. Now, I heard one of the governor saying, you know, when we are talking about America, when I was a child in the school, we mentioned 200 years ago, 100 years ago, what's happened 300 years ago with the Indian, etc. When you go to Israel, 300 years, it's nothing. We are talking about 3,000 years. And the history is there, it's from where it's all began. So for the Judaism, for the Christian, for the Muslim, it's a great country, and and a very innovative country. They used to call us the startup nation.
Yes.
And they think that there is a good product to fly to Israel. It's called El Al.
Yes.
So I invite everyone to try it. And
we're going to take your invitation. We're going to come back to the invitation in 1 minute. You experienced American Jewry, and you experienced Jewry in France. How many years were you in Paris?
All in all, about 12 years.
About 12. That's a long time.
Yeah.
As you look at the Jewish community of France, and I'm not sure the Jewish community of France is the same as the Jewish community of Paris, but as you experienced Judaism and Jewry in France and Paris, how does it compare to you? What contrasts or similarities are there to what you've experienced here among American Jews?
The big difference is that the French Jewish are flying to Israel, and they love Israel. A lot of them has apartments in Israel, and they are flying for weekend and going back and forth.
Really?
Yes. And you know, there is no so many Jewish in France. It's about, they are talking about 350,000 to 400,000 all in all France. But in terms of flight, we have 3 to 4 daily flights from Paris, and we have a daily flight from Marseille, and now from Nice. So meaning you can calculate how many times a year they are flying to Israel. I wish that we will have the same demand here in North America from the Jewish side. I wish.
When people talk now about French Jewry, they always talk about anti-Semitism. When you were there 3 years ago, whenever it was, did you experience anti-Semitism? Were you concerned as a Jew from Israel with anti-Semitism when you were in Paris?
It's not a fair question. I'm Israeli. You know, I'm vaccinated. I don't see the anti-Semitism. Of course, there is an anti-Semitism. There was the hyper kasher, and then there was the attack in Marseille.
Yes.
And the anti-Semitism is raising his head again, and not only in Paris, by the way. It's in France and it's in Europe, and unfortunately, we don't see the end for it. If I felt personally an anti-Semitism, not specially.
Nor did your children.
I don't think so.
And do you feel it here in America?
I think I feel the same like I felt in Paris.
So I want to wrap up by saying to you, here you are, a major personality in the world of El Al. You represent not simply an airline. You could be working for United Airlines or American Airlines or Delta and JetBlue, whatever it is. But you represent, you're with El Al Airlines. That's a different quality in our minds. And you said you want to invite. I'm asking you, what do you want our audience to know about El Al Airlines and why, if they're ever planning a visit to Israel, the only way to go is on a Dreamliner by El Al?
So thank you for asking. Again, the journey to Israel start when it starts in El Al, meaning when you put your step on board El Al airplane, so you are already in Israel. So you feel the experience of the Israeli culture, the Israeli food, the Israeli language, the Hebrew on board. The pilot is speaking in Hebrew and then in English. So the journey to Israel starts with El Al. So when you put your step on board El Al flight, you are already in Israel, by the way. And again, El Al has, I think, the best product today between North America to Israel. It's a brand new Dreamliners. It's a state of the art of business class, premium, coach, state of the art of entertainment system on board, Wi-Fi, security and safety we talk. What else you need? And the frequencies and the destination. We have 5 flights a day from whenever you want to fly, day, night. So you have to think about it as well. The frequencies, the product, the destination in North America. We are talking here in the East Coast. We start from Miami, JFK, Newark, Boston, Toronto, and then Las Vegas, and then San Francisco, and then Los Angeles, and then Orlando. So,
and you said Chicago is coming.
And Chicago is from March 20. So we're talking here about 10 destinations in North America, non-stop flight. And we are very competitive also in terms of prices.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the product, you have the price, you have the best place is Israel. What else you need?
You were delicious.
Mark, toda rabah.
Kol tuva hatzlacha to you. All you do, may you just go from strength to strength.
Toda rabah.
And again, you are such a wonderful human being. I am so honored to be your friend. And thank you for making the effort to sit with me on L'chaim. Kol tuva hatzlacha.
Toda rabah. Yishar koach.
Thank you. Yoram El-Grabli, Managing Director, responsible for all of El Al Airlines in North America, and a very, very special human being. I hope you've enjoyed meeting him here on L'Chaim. As always, I invite you to be in touch with me with any thoughts or comments you may have to any of the ideas expressed on this edition of L'Chaim. Please email me, write me, post on our Facebook page, or tweet me. I look forward to hearing from many of you. And remember, you can now take L'Chaim with you wherever you go as a podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, you'll find the L'Chaim podcast, and you can listen again to my conversation with Yoram. And so until the next time, I'm Mark Golub. L'Chaim, my friends, to life.
Be pleased to send a complimentary DVD of this program to anyone who wishes to support JBS with a tax-deductible gift of $36, double chai, or more. Simply visit the JBS website at jbstv.org and click on the Donate button to make a donation by PayPal or your credit card. And please, indicate the program for which you would like a DVD. Or you can send your tax-deductible check to JBS, P.O. Box 180, Riverdale Station, Bronx, New York, 10471. And again, please remember to indicate which program you would like to receive with our compliments. And we thank you for your kind support.